to order. And can we do roll call for a quorum?
Caputo?
Here.
Harris?
Here.
Asrari?
I think she's here. Did you respond?
Yeah, she's here. She's trying to respond.
I'm sorry, I'm here.
There you are.
Sorry.
Berrigan?
Here.
Dodell? Fukami?
Here.
Imtiaz? Kalamshi?
I think he wasn't.
Kappas?
Here.
Martin?
Did Martin respond?
I don't believe so.
Okay. I thought she was going to be here. And she's not on the list?
I don't see her. There's Kalamshi's up. Okay.
I am here.
Gotcha. Thank you. Appreciate it, Saba. Okay. So do we have a quorum?
Yes, we do.
Okay. In line with what we've discussed before, and we'll be making this sort of a slide like we see on the screen currently for everybody, but basically it's regarding meeting decorum. So I'll read it this time, and we'll have it posted for future meetings. Meetings of the investigative committee are open to the public. They are conducted in a manner to ensure that the committee's deliberations are not disrupted. Therefore, the following statement is considered as a warning with respect to appropriate decorum. Each person who addresses the committee must do so in an orderly manner and must not make an impertinent, slanderous, threatening, abusive, or profane remarks to any member of the committee, staff, licensee, complainant, or general public. Any person who engages in any disorderly or inappropriate conduct that disrupts, disturbs, or otherwise impedes the conduct of any meeting will be removed from the current meeting and closely monitored should they decide to attend any future meetings. And in accordance to how we run our investigative committee meetings, no non-committee member or staff is allowed to participate unless that's already been previously designated or arranged. With that, we'll go into our identification of conflicts. So anybody identify conflicts out there?
Yeah, this is Harris. I prepared one of the reports, 4B34, that I need to recuse.
Okay, 4B34, thank you.
This is Anyone Gordon.
Yeah, go ahead, Karen.
I assisted on preparing a report for 4B10, so I recuse myself. And also, on 4B31, I know the doctor, I'm going to recuse myself.
Okay. So 10 and 31 for you?
Correct.
Okay. Anybody else?
This is Fukami.
Cynthia, hold on just a sec. Karen, were you recused on both those, correct? You're not participating?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Sorry about that. Okay, Cynthia, I apologize.
No, of course. I'm actually recusing myself as well from case number B15 and case number B34.
34. And so on the those, you're not participating at all, correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay. I have two identified conflicts, but and I've already processed them with the board, though, and it doesn't prevent me from participating. And that's on 4B12 and 4B21. But I'm not recusing. I just identified the conflicts so that the board is aware. But it shouldn't affect my ability to participate. Okay. With that, let me switch back over to the agenda. We are into the meeting minutes, agenda item 3. So I trust everyone's had an opportunity to review those, and understanding that, I would take a motion to approve the minutes. From our meeting, I apologize.
So moved.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, thank you, Saba. I just was going to make sure we had the dates on there, but that was from our September 19th meeting. So we have a motion by Saba. Is there a second?
Harris seconds.
Okay. So Kalamshi and Harris. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asrari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Kalamshi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
And Martin?
Yes.
Oh, you made it. Great. Thank you.
I had told Yasmin earlier I'm only able to stay until about 3.
Okay, so what I would ask you to do, Katie, if you don't mind,
sure,
is try to give us like a 10-minute heads up if we're kind of getting close to that.
You got it.
Just as a reminder.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. As we move into agenda item – oh, I'm sorry. April, go ahead.
I was just going to say that if we – let's see, case number B34. If we don't get to it before Dr. Martin leaves, we won't have a quorum due to the recusals.
We may address that first then. That was going to be something I was going to ask because that was the only one I recognized that there were at least two. And thank you for pointing that out. Okay. All right. So as we move into agenda item 4, as we have done in the past, and let me just see something on 34. Okay. Well, so you guys can let me know, and I'm saying this to staff, if I have to, we have to adjust any of these because of where we're at with some of our recusals. So these are cases that are being recommended for dismissal to the board. Agenda item 4B1. Case number 2021-00260. Agenda item 4B2. Case number 2022-00103. Agenda item 4B3. Case number 2022-00275. Agenda item 4B5. Case number 2023-00008. Agenda item 4B6. Case number 2023-00077. Agenda item 4B9. Case number 2023-00113. Agenda item 4B10. Case number 2023-00143. Agenda item 4B12. Case number 2023-00156. Agenda item 4B13. Case number 2023-00159. Agenda item 4B14. Case number 2023-00160. Agenda item 4B15. Case number 2023-00167. Agenda item 4B17. Case number 2023 00172. Agenda item 4B18, case number 2023-00173. Agenda item 4B19, case number 2023-00178. Agenda item 4B20, case number 2023-00183-MP. Agenda item 4B24. Case number 2023-00219. Agenda item 4B26. Case number 2023-00221. Agenda item 4B29. Case number 2023-00224. Agenda item 4B32. Case number 2023-00239. Agenda item 4B33. Case number 2023-00252. Agenda item 4B34. Case number 2023-00256. Agenda item 4B35. Case number 2023-00270. Agenda item 4B36. Case number 2023-00280. And agenda item 4B39, case number 2023-00326. So first, does anybody need me to clarify any of those identified cases?
Actually, yeah, this is Harris. There was one in the middle of that group of eight, 4B20. Two or 23 that I missed.
I did the groupings that I had for that purpose. There's a group from 4B12 to 4B20.
Right.
Then there's 4B24, 4B26.
24. I'd like the.
Hold on just a second. I just want to make sure everybody's good with the list.
Yep.
Okay. If there's.
That's what I'm.
No. Yeah, I'm with you. I just wanted to confirm because, you know, sometimes people want to make sure I repeat. All right. If nobody else has any questions about the listing that was read, then to you, Skip, as well as anybody else, are there any cases that anybody would like to remove?
I'd like to discuss 19 and 20, please.
Okay. So we will remove 4B19, case number 2023-00178, and case number 4B20, case number 2023-00183-MP, correct? Okay?
Yes, sir.
Anybody else? Cynthia?
Can you clarify for me as well? I think for case or agenda 4B20, because it's a malpractice case, are we allowed to dismiss it? Can it be on the dismissal list anyway?
Yep. Yes. Yes, it can. But it doesn't matter now, right?
Right. It was just on my list for that reason. Got it.
That's fine. No, I understand. I appreciate that, though. But, yeah. Anybody else?
Sawak Kalamchi. I'd like to discuss 4B34, case item 2023-00256.
Okay, we'll remove that. Anybody else? So we have three cases that have been pulled off of that list. Can I get a motion to recommend dismissal for the identified cases minus the three that were pulled?
Give me 1 second.
Harris so moves.
Second.
Clancy second. Cynthia.
Can we remove, not for my sake, but I'm recused for agenda item B15.
Just for, I think, posterity, I would take 15 and 10 separate just because I don't know what the quorum looks like. And then you can do three dismissal motions, one for all of them, one for 10, and one for all.
Yes.
Okay. So we will handle, we'll remove 10 and 15 from that list as well and then handle them separately. Is that what you were getting at, Cynthia?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So,
I think it was Skip Harris and Saba.
Yep. It was first by Harris, second by Kalamchi. Okay. So further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asrari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Bukami?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay, so that motion carries. Thank you. That brings us back to, we'll just go to 4B10, case number 2023-00143, and we'll handle that for dismissal, but with, I guess there was a recusal there. Is that what you were identifying?
Yeah.
Okay.
So can, Karen Berrigan.
Okay, that was for Berrigan. All right, so can I get a motion for dismissal on that?
Harris makes that motion.
Second?
Second, Kalamchi.
Kalamchi. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asrari?
Yes.
Berrigan is recused. Bukami?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay. That takes us to 4B14. 4B15, excuse me. Case number 2023-00167. Can I get a motion for dismissal, a recommendation of dismissal for that?
This is Harris, Berrigan. Correct. I'll make a motion.
Okay, Berrigan and second by Harris. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asrari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Bukami is recused. Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay. Motion's carried. Thank you all. Now, again, as per past protocol, I'll go over recommendations for letter of concern and then certainly entertain other requests for letter of concern once I read my list. Agenda item four, and then as a reminder, we'll go each over, once approved, we'll go over the cases to provide staff with the language to present to the board. But we'll do that separately once approved. Agenda item 4B11, case number 2023-00144. Agenda item 4B28, case number 2023-00223. Agenda item 4B30, case number 2023-00225. And agenda item 4B37, case number 2023-00281. Is there any other members that would propose a case for letter of concern in addition to that list of four?
This is Harris. I don't want to add one, but I think 4B37 is probably a little bit worse than just a letter of concern, in my opinion.
And we can pull that. That's why I just want to get the list first, and then we'll go
through it.
Yeah.
This is Kalamchi. Agenda item 4B34. I look at letter of concern.
Okay. And you were the one that pulled it initially, Saba, from the dismissal recommendation?
Absolutely, yes.
No, I'm just making sure. Okay, so I'm going to put that down unless there's disagreement to that. Anyone else with another recommendation? Okay, so I heard Skip on 37, so we'll remove 37. And we've added 34. So So the list, just to go by agenda items, this is a recommendation for letter of concern. 4B11, 4B28, 4B30, and 4B34. If we're good with that list, can I get a motion for a letter of concern?
So moved.
Saba?
Harris, second.
Okay. Further discussion? Roll call.
Can we discuss before we do roll call? Sorry to...
Oh, you want to do the what's in the letters?
No, I think that 34, we probably should just work on doing that one separately entirely because Skip just seconded, but he's also conflicted on the case.
Oh, we can get a different second. Would that be better?
Yeah, but then and then Fukami and Harris won't be able to vote on the LLC. And that's okay because you have...
But you want to handle that one separately, I mean.
Yeah, might just make it cleaner.
So we're going to keep Kalamchi as the first, but we need a different second due to conflict.
I second. That's Martin.
Thank you. Martin seconds. Okay. All I want to do now is just confirm letters of concern.
Perfect.
Okay. So we're just doing roll call that we agreed that we are recommending letter of concern, and then we'll go into the language for each one. So April, go ahead.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris is recused. Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami is recused. Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries. So we have four letters of concern. Let's go up to 4B11 as our first one that we are recommending for a letter of concern. And what I was going to provide to the board is language that basically stresses the importance of documentation and ensuring correct diagnosis with appropriate treatment planning. If we're okay with that, great. If anybody has other suggestions or would like to include something additional, please let me know. Cynthia?
I had a note also about for that letter of concerns regarding missing treatment notes and to ensure that all treatment notes reflect the discussion with the patient.
And that's why I wrote importance of documentation. Do you think that covers it or you want something?
It's perfect. I just don't remember exactly what was the basis for it, but yes.
Okay.
That's fine.
That's okay. Anybody else? Okay. And the good news is I am at the board today, if in case you haven't noticed. So I'll make sure that staff has the language before I leave so we can bypass at least ensuring the language is correct. Except for Saba, I'm going to lean on you when we get to 34, okay?
Absolutely. No problem. Okay.
Yeah, no problem. So now we're on 4B28, case number 2023, and on this one, I had a note to emphasize importance of documentation of findings with thorough communication with dentist regarding oral conditions and findings. Other thoughts, comments, additions, deletions?
And this is Harris. I guess for both of these hygienist letter of concern, I feel strongly that they need to be something to the effect of, you know, recognizing the importance of them being a gatekeeper and identifying patients that are being missed. You know, I'm not sure what the language should be, but I found that frustrating.
And that's why I had in there thorough communication with dentists regarding oral condition and findings.
Yeah, I guess I just like them to feel a sense of responsibility that I didn't get the sense of there. So maybe we could work in the word responsibility in that letter of concern somewhere.
Okay. Deb?
I just want to comment from a hygienist perspective. I was taken aback a bit by the one hygienist mentioning that she was instructed not to do those kinds of things, unless it had to do with perio. So I'm thinking that maybe the letter of concern might help in kind of changing the minds of those additional providers, viewing the hygienist gatekeeper role rather than so narrowly focused.
I couldn't agree with you. I felt the same way, and I think that's kind of why I arranged it the way I did. But I certainly don't have a problem. Do you feel like it's appropriate to incorporate something about responsibility into that letter of concern?
Yeah, responsibility is fine. And maybe we should put shared responsibility with the dentist.
Skip, would you be okay with that?
Yeah, I just want them to understand it.
Okay.
And frankly, they may. It may be a practice protocol situation. Hard to say.
I was more with you on that because I felt like the hygienist kind of got shut down by the policy of the office is how I read through that complaint. So I would agree with that, but I am fine with that. Cynthia?
You know, as a corollary to that, I have a general question about this, which is by issuing a letter of concern to the licensee or on this particular matter, does that negate the option of the second concern I had with this whole 8 provider case situation, which is that there was an issue with the Horizon Dental not complying with any of the subpoenas for any of these cases? So it's going to forestall the option of exploring if that was an issue in any of these cases.
But there's this listing here. This was one person involved in that, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get to that. But I think that issue is beyond what this specific issue is. But if you want to handle it here, what do you want to propose?
This is my general question, which is I just don't know procedurally. Is the matter closed after this letter of concern is issued to this licensee for this particular agenda item? That's a general question for a lot of things. Right. Does that make sense? I assume we'll get to it with the other ones. And if that's where it'll be addressed, then maybe we should do it that way.
Dr. Fukami, this is AAG Seamus. Would you like me to jump in and maybe kind of provide some bumpers for you?
Yes, please.
Okay, and your specific question really related to if you choose to issue a letter of concern, are the other issues off the table? Well, that is kind of a loaded question. So I would recommend that if you think that a certain part of this should be dealt with only with a letter of concern, that you would identify that and recommend to the board that they only dispose of this part of the complaint or the investigation with a letter of concern. And then again, the easier way to do that is to say if there are larger concerns, that whatever that letter of concern was going to be, maybe it's ratcheted up now. And so maybe just what was going to go in that letter of concern maybe now goes into a non-disciplinary order or consent regarding the issues that you're discussing. Does that make sense?
I think so. I'm okay with that if others are. So I don't think that in this particular situation that the noncompliance of the subpoena contributed to the eventual, agreement reached for a letter of concern for these two individuals. So for that part, I would remove that part as a point of discussion. But yes, I would agree with cutting out or carving out to and identifying that the letter of concern only pertains to these two individuals, as you mentioned at the very beginning.
Okay, and you can absolutely make that recommendation.
So can
I, was there something else you wanted to do with this particular one, Cynthia, or we're leaving?
No. No, I'm good with a letter of concern otherwise. Yeah, I just want to make sure it wasn't closing the door on the other discussion.
Why not? Skip.
I think we'll get to it, right, when we do the whole group.
Yep. You betcha. Okay. So understanding that we must so the language on that was okay, though. Or did somebody leave? We talked about shared responsibility, understanding the importance of that as well. And so I have no problem working on that language. So outside of that, Cynthia, go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Hand down.
And Dr. Caputo, again, this is AAG Seamus Monahan. I just realized that I didn't fully answer your question, Dr. Fukami, and I apologize. What I would recommend here, since the board will most likely hear these cases at the same time, is that, you know, that would be ideally what we would do, that the board, that you determine what kind of, you know, discipline or non-discipline is warranted in each case. And then at the board level, we'll note that and combine them if necessary, and then bring that up to maybe an appropriate level of discipline, if that was your concern.
Thank you.
Okay. So if the language that was proposed is sounds okay, getting back to that, I would entertain a motion for that recommended language in this letter of concern.
Kalamshi.
First, Kalamshi. Second?
Berrigan.
Second, Berrigan. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
I'm not sure if I'm recused at this point, but yes.
No. You're okay.
Asrari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yeah.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay. Going on to our next agenda item for letter of concern, 4B30, 2023-00225, and realizing we've sort of been indirectly referring to this one as well, based on previous conversation. The recommendation for the letter of concern is the same contents. So, and I'm hearing the also proposed language of shared responsibility, which we will incorporate. So I can read it again, or if you're comfortable with what we already covered for our previous one, it's going to be effectively the same language in this letter of concern. And if that's good, I would accept a motion for that language.
This is Kappas. I'll move that.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Kalamshi, second. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asrari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, skip Kalamshi?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries. We are now on to agenda item 4B34, case number 2023-00256. Saba, you've got the floor.
I looked at the case, and, you know, that when I look at the time where the oral surgeon started the procedure in May and eventually did the biopsy, and I reviewed Dr. Harris, which is nicely document that. Basically, he should have done the biopsy earlier. Not to say having the biopsy earlier going to change the end result of this poor lady, because I think squamous cell carcinoma is something difficult to manage and looked at the pathology. It's an aggressive. So, but I think it's behoove us that the oral surgeon should recognize the delay in healing. It's not an infective. He kept saying there's no infection. Then somebody have to have biopsy. That's the bottom line. And I think that's what I believe he missed on that.
So the process here is, more directed, consideration for, diagnosis with respect to, persistent, clinical presentation and making the decision for biopsy sooner rather than later. Is that kind of what you're getting?
Yeah, and I don't think it would have changed the outcome.
No, I understand. And I think that point's well taken. You're just saying that there needs to be more thoughtfulness on the practitioner's part. Are you recommending more thoughtfulness on early biopsy versus later?
Well, I mean, that decision in each case, it depends which case. I mean, that's, you know, anything after 2 weeks and there's no, you know, you practice enough, you find, you know, what the norm, what the abnorm. I mean, you know, and this look abnormal, biopsy. I mean, that's the bottom line.
So, yeah, and I'm just trying to capture your thought. So is that language sound okay or are you thinking something else?
Oh, that's language fine, you know, I have no problem.
We're just recommending thoughtfulness and timing of biopsy determination, correct?
Agreed.
Okay. Any other thoughts by anyone else? So it sounds like we're okay with that recommendation regarding timeliness. Considerations on diagnosis and timeliness of biopsy in a letter of concern for this licensee. And if that language sounds okay without other additions, I'll accept a motion.
So move.
First, Kalamchi, second.
Eric
Martin, second.
Okay. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris is recused. Asrari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Bakami is recused. Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries. Sorry, I was writing myself a note to make sure we have that language captured. Okay. So that takes care of our listing for dismissal and letters of concern. So now we will go into our other items that were not identified for dismissal or letter of concern. And that puts us at agenda item 4A1, case number 2023-00150.
Dr. Caputo?
Yes.
This is AAG Seamus. I apologize for jumping in and throwing off your mojo here. Did we actually get a vote on B11? It doesn't sound like we had the language in B11.
Oh, yeah, no, we did.
We got the language, no vote.
Oh, we didn't vote on B11?
Right. Just the initial vote that it was a letter of concern.
Oh, we didn't vote. I thought we voted on the language. All right. Well, thank you both for catching that. I have no idea.
Thank you, Ryan.
I must have just blown by that. So we will go back to B11, case number 2023-00144. And I had said as a recommendation, stressing the importance of documentation and ensuring correct diagnosis with appropriate treatment planning. There was one comment from Dr. Fukami that seemed to be captured in the importance of documentation. And that was it for our discussion. So at this point, if everybody's okay with that recommended language, I'll accept a motion for that recommendation.
So move.
Kalamchi. Second, Fukami.
Fukami. Yep.
Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asrari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Calamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay. And then, Ryan, do we have, do we record these meetings?
Oh, yeah, it's being recorded right now.
So could we get one of those red flags so that next time something like this happens, I can blow the red flag and do a review? Because I think we voted on this. I'm going to disagree with you and Seamus. We'll catch up on that later. Okay, so we are now on agenda item 4A1, case number 2023-00150. I'm going to lean on Ryan for this, but I do think this was a failure to respond to subpoena. So I have 32-1263-D12, and I'm looking specifically at page 29 of our packets to start the conversation. And what I'm seeing there is, as far as the investigator's conclusion on allegation number what is 1263 D12? Isn't that?
It is failing to comply with the board's subpoena in a timely manner. So 1263 D12 is grounds for disciplinary action, but there's also 32-1208.
Because I think this is against the entity.
Okay.
Because I think the entity, yeah.
Yep. So then I think you have to, and Seamus can jump in here.
I think it was the entity's failing to comply with the subpoena. I think there were like multiple requests, and we weren't getting the information from the entity. So that's why I had made that recommendation. Seamus, did you have anything to add to what Ryan said?
No, I agree with what Ryan said.
So what does that mean? It's disciplinary to the entity?
And so you can do up to a $2,000.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, I was going to recommend a $2,000 fine, but at least I want to get the discussion started. So that's where at least we'll start now, and I'll open it up to the committee with other input. But that's where I was at on this particular complaint. Purely with the entity and their failure to respond to the subpoena with that recommendation of a $2,000 fine as well. Any discussion?
Harris seconds.
So, yeah, so let's do what we normally do. Let's go ahead and we'll say we are finding a violation of 32-1263-D12. First by Caputo, second by Harris. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll vote on the violation. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Calamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin.
Yes.
And so in regards to the violation, I'm recommending to the board. Go ahead, Skip.
Oh, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just going to ask the question, is there support for opening on Dr. Anzac for Crown and Bridge?
Let's dispose of this and let's go for that. So I was just going to say with regards to that violation, I was going to recommend that the board fine the entity $2,000 for failure to respond to subpoena. Is there a second to that proposed recommendation of fine?
Second.
Calamchi? Further discussion? So roll call on the recommended $2,000 fine.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Calamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
And so, Dr. Caputo, that would be I just wanted to jump in real quick. I heard something. You plan on opening a complaint on a, quote, Dr. A. Is that correct?
That was brought up. I just want to verify we did vote to support the recommendation of the $2,000 fine, then yes, Seamus. The next question that came up, there was a identification by the investigator, again on page 29. It was documented about a possible open margin or ledge, and the dentist identified was Dr. C.A., and it said the thought on the consultant's part was the recommendation for a possible letter of concern. So, yes, to your point, and then I think to what Dr. Harris was recommending, that's where we're at right now.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. So I didn't see anything that jumped out to me to do, because I don't – and so maybe, Seamus, you can help with this, or Ryan, but – if there's no complaint against the dentist, can we still do a non-disciplinary action like a letter of concern, or would there have to be a complaint?
Yeah, and this is something that Seamus actually brought up before he went on his little hiatus on a new journey and came back. So, yeah, you can – if you don't need anything more and you can capture the information you need to do the letter of concern with what you have, so the recommendation would be to open a case on this doctor and issue a letter of concern simultaneously.
And so we could.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So Skip, did you want to, were you thinking that, or were you thinking something else for this case?
I think that's appropriate.
Okay. So what would you include in that letter of concern?
Well, I would defer to the restorative dentists in the group, but something the effect of open margins are bad.
Just leave it at that one sentence. I got you. That's a little anesthesia humor, Skip. Cynthia.
I'm sorry to bring up yet another topic on this one, but one thing I noticed on this case was that this is a elderly patient with who's undergone two aortic valve replacements, who's on multiple hypertensive medications. Yes, they did pre-med this patient as was appropriate throughout the years, but I don't see a single blood pressure reading ever taken throughout this 6 years of notes for multiple restorative appointments and perio appointments, I believe, as well. Luckily, it looks like nothing dire happen as a result of those, but I would think that might be helpful to add in a letter of concern since one's going to be generated here.
Okay. So we're looking at a letter of concern regarding appropriate restoration of teeth with single unit crowns to ensure that the margins are appropriate without any open margin or ledges. In the finished restoration, as well as with medically complex patients, as well as any patient, right? Would you agree, Cynthia, that
I would agree. Yes, but this one particularly stood out to me.
Looking at it, you know, not only are we concerned with medically complex patients, but certainly any patient, routine collection of blood pressure data is important. Is that fine for you?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Any other thoughts regarding what might be in that letter of concern? I think one of the challenges we have, Skip, if I'm reflecting on the current group that's participating today, we don't have a restorative dentist among us, do we? I think our restorative dentists are not participating today. So leave it to the specialist to define that language.
Then we'll leave it at my one sentence.
Well, we'll talk about the importance of, you know, making sure margins are closed and there's no ledging with restorations doing crown and bridge, as well as Dr. Pakami's recommendation to ensure that vital signs are obtained for patients, and particularly when you have patients who are medically complex, it's even more important to capture that data. So I think we can certainly generate something to that effect. if everybody's okay with that type of language, I would accept a motion for that recommendation regarding what was identified on page, and I'm just doing this for staff, but what was identified on page 29 regarding Dr. C.A.?
Harris seconds.
Okay, first by Caputo, second by Harris. Other comments? Roll call for a letter of concern for Dr. C.A.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Calamity?
Saba, you there?
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay. So a motion carries. I am just, give me a minute, I'm just making a quick note. So I have that. All right. Thank you all. We will get that done. Thank you, Skip, for that. Okay. Next, we are on case number 4B4. I'm sorry, agenda item 4B4, case number 2022-00339. I am looking at violation of 32-120-101, 14, and 24. So I'll put that out there for the rest of the committee to consider. And if there's agreement, I would take a second.
Harris seconds.
Okay. Any other comments? Seeing none, roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Calamity? Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries. I would direct the committee to page 479 and 480. And that's the beginning with the investigator's conclusions. And based on what is identified in those conclusions, my recommendation for action in this particular case is disciplinary, to include 3 CEUs of ethics, 3 CEUs of record keeping, 6 CEUs of single crown preparation and delivery through the Credits Cares program, and restitution in the amount of $1,580.88. We'll open that for discussion. I'm trying to remember what Anthony told me, but is record keeping cover ethics or?
Risk management.
Risk management. Okay. All right.
Harris seconds.
Okay. Have a second to that recommendation regarding CE, the Credits Cares program for Crown and Bridge preparation, delivery, and restitution. Further discussion. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Calamity?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That carries, and we'll make that recommendation. We are now on agenda item 4B7, case number 2023-00084. I had initially looked at dismissal, but I'm going to direct the committee to page 1175 of our packets, and I'm going to get there myself too. And I'm trying to see, for me, there was a lot going on here, and some of the comments that were made. And so what I was going to propose us to consider as a recommendation is an audit of the practice and to have an investigator actually go and address a number of the issues that are identified in the consultant's report. So I'd like to put that out there for discussion. If there's agreement to that, we can certainly make that recommendation. And if there's not and folks are okay with dismissal, I'm open for that as well as other discussion.
This is Berrigan. I think that's a great idea to audit. There's too many conflicting stories going on. So
right.
Yeah. I'm in agreement.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you. We can do that, right?
So
we
can go out there. So that would be an inspection, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. It would be like an on-site. It's probably by the same person that's the...
It would be an on-site inspection, Seamus.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you. And then Ryan was saying it would most likely be the same person who did the report.
Yep.
Okay, any other comments?
Would you also like to recommend then as part of that just to continue the investigation?
Sure. That's fine. So we want
to not make that a final order. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh, yeah, no, and we weren't. I was exactly saying that. So we want to continue the investigation by conducting an audit of the practice based on what was identified in the report. Is that fair, Seamus?
Sounds great.
Okay. All right. Other discussion?
Harris seconds.
Harris seconds. So roll call on the recommendation to continue the investigation by performing an on-site inspection based on the identified issues raised in the report. And Fukami.
So this licensee is no longer at the practice, if I remember correctly. So what will be the structure of that audit, or is that something to be determined here?
To be determined. That's
okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Other comments? Okay, so roll call on that recommendation.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. We are now on agenda item 4B16, case number 2023-00168. This is another situation. Oh, I'm sorry, April.
Did we dismiss B8?
Eight. Oh, I skipped eight, didn't I? I'm going to come back to eight. Let me just take care of this because it's sort of similar to this one, but we'll come back to eight. Thank you very much. No, we did not. The way my notes are, I kind of jumped over it. So I don't have necessarily a page reference, but I'm going to open it up as I open this up for discussion. I originally looked at dismissing this case or recommending dismissal for this case, but I just wasn't sure if there was more going on based on the consultant's report, and I didn't know if that meant we could do any. I really just wanted to see if there was a feeling by the committee or maybe if I was looking too hard at it, and maybe it's just a matter of just dismissing it. So that's kind of where I'm at, and I'm open for input on this. And, again, this is case for our purposes right now. This is agenda item 4B16, case number 2023-00168. I'm just wondering if people agree with me. Yes.
Yeah, this is Berrigan. I originally had dismissed. The patient chose to go to another provider.
Uh-huh.
And with that in mind, that kind of muddies the water as far as was there really any malfeasance in the original doctor's treatment. So that was where I was coming from on it.
And like I said, I'm kind of fine. I just didn't know if I was reading too much into this. Mia.
I was going to say the same thing as far as periodontal, because it says that the dentist did refer the patient or recommended to go to periodontist, and the patient did not.
Okay. So maybe it was just me. So if you guys are there, I'll take a recommendation for dismissal.
This is Berrigan. Move to dismiss.
Okay. And second, Asrari?
Asrari, second.
Okay. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
No.
Asrari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Mukami?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay, so motion carries. Thank you all. All right. And April, thank you. So we are now going to jump back up to agenda item 4B8, case number 2023-00090. I had identification of violations of 32-12-01-01, 14, 23, and 24. So if there's agreement, I'll take a second. If there's other comments, we'll have those as well.
Harris seconds.
Okay. Other discussion. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asrari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Mukami? Kalamchi? Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Are we good with those two not responding, April?
Yeah, we got 6 votes.
Okay, so motion carries. All right, so I would direct the committee to pages 1475 through 78 in your packet, and I'm going to go there myself. And this is starting with deviations through identified the conclusions for the identified allegations. And I'm seeing something here. And maybe it was some of the things beyond, because none of the allegations seem to be substantiated by the investigator, but I looked at some of these other issues that were also identified regarding documentation. And so that's where I came, identified those violations as we just voted on and approved. So I was going to recommend to the committee a disciplinary action to include 3 units of record keeping, 3 units of ethics, and 6 units of diagnosis and treatment planning. So I will open that up for discussion. And if there's agreement, a second.
Harris seconds.
Okay. Other comments? Okay. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asrari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Mukami?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries for that recommendation. All right, so we are now on to 2 of the pulled agenda items. So, Skip, I'll be looking to you on these, since you were the one that did that.
Yes, sir.
We're on agenda item 4B19, case number 2023-00178.
My question for 4B19 was, I believe the patient paid $1,800 but was only refunded $1,300, and I just was looking for some discussion on that.
Yeah, I was on page 2919 on that, and my note says I wasn't convinced of the rationale for restitution. But let me see what the report also says at that location. Anybody else while I'm not mine?
Yeah, I would refer to the restorative dentist, but.
I appreciate that. We don't have any. Oh, this was the Tucker Gold Academy. Gotcha. Yeah, and so, I mean, according to, and let me just see, who was the investigator? First, there's a general dentist, yeah?
Yes, I think all your contracts.
Okay. So he's your restorative dentist, Skip. And he did identify, to your point, on 2919, basically there's this $500 difference, right, is what you're identifying?
Correct.
I just was lost in where that was at, and that's why I had initially identified this for dismissal. So I will defer to others for comment.
Well, this is Marion. Yep. I have a comment on that discrepancy of $500. There was chair time put into the prep of those teeth and whatever scanner impression. So to me, it seemed like a reasonable and generous refund of the $1,300. That's where I was coming from on it.
Okay. I appreciate that. Anybody else? So what would you like to do, Skip?
I'd like to make a motion that I'm not sure how to recommend that they increase the refund for the total amount. I guess we have to find for disciplinary action first, correct? So,
correct. We'd have to identify a violation, which probably would fall under 32.1201.14. But yes, it would be a disciplinary recommendation based on that violation.
I guess I don't feel strongly enough to describe a disciplinary problem on this. So because I don't feel strongly enough, I think maybe I don't want to recommend disciplinary action.
Okay.
Perhaps a letter of concern to solve that problem.
What do you think would be in that letter of concern? Or
just consider in the future, if you're going to refund the patient, you know, refund them fully if you feel that's appropriate.
Okay. Are there other comments, thoughts about a letter of concern here? And if so, if there is support for that, as Dr. Harris has described, I would take a second to that as well. Well, I'm not hearing a second for you, Skip. So I think we're on to dismissal, but I'm just going to.
Okay, I'm fine with dismissal if everybody else is. I just wanted it to be discussed.
No, I get it. I appreciate it. All right, so could I, unless someone has another idea or thought or response, I'll take a motion for dismissal.
This is Berrigan. Move to dismiss.
Okay, second?
I use a second.
Waiting.
Okay.
Martin, second.
Martin, second. Okay, further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Bukami?
Yes.
Calamity? Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay, so motion for dismissal. Has been approved. Thank you. We are now on agenda item 4B20, case number 2023-00183-MP. Dr. Harris.
Again, I guess I just wanted to open this up for conversation. My review of this case struck me as though there was grossly insufficient bone for the level of treatment plan that they created. And I think the pathologic fracture was certainly predictable and at a minimum warrants some commentary.
Yeah, I would defer to you on that. I mean, I thought about that too. So let me ask you this. Did you think that implants should not have been placed based on that? That's what I was struggling with. And so I don't know that I had a strong position on that as a result.
I think if you're going to take a case like that, which is by definition a higher risk case and a challenging case, I would either like to see that the patient is better prepared for the risks and alternatives of this. I guess I felt like I didn't see any evidence that the patient was aware that what they were doing is higher risk. And thus when they had the complication, you know, seemed to be surprised by it. I think if there was clear documentation that this was a extreme measure taken for an extreme need, that I might have a slightly different perspective, but the charts didn't document that. This was not a business as usual case, and the chart should have reflected that, and it didn't. And so the patient was so disappointed with their results that they filed a malpractice suit. If I had done this case, the patient would have been so thoroughly prepared and educated beforehand that if the pathologic fracture happened, they would not have been surprised.
Fair enough. And that's why we have you here. So I appreciate that insight. What would you recommend in this case?
I mean, I think I'd be fine with a letter of concern. I think I'd be fine with non-disciplinary CEs and treatment planning. I think that it's worth a note.
No, totally I totally appreciate that. Cynthia.
I think along those lines, and I'm not the expert to comment on this one, but I think that almost everyone here would have looked at that panel and said the same thing, which was the fracture was almost predictable, and that I would have wondered if a specialist was consulted both on the front end as well, before, as part of the treatment planning, if other options were discussed with the patient beforehand. I mean, and I think that the evidence to support that, I don't know that those considerations were made up front, was that when eventually the complication occurred and there was a follow-up to a specialist afterward, that it seemed like a lot of the management of the complication afterward was done by texting.
So, and I appreciate that, and I think that was kind of to my next point. Does a letter of concern capture what we're trying to maybe relate to this practitioner, or would it be more appropriate to do continuing education recommendation?
I would lean towards non-disciplinary CE.
I agree.
Okay. So even though we didn't do it, should we find a violation, or we could just recommend non-disciplinary CE? In the past, we've usually identified a violation.
Yeah, I don't think that you need a violation in non-discipline. Seamus, do you have an comment?
You do not need a violation. The specific statute, 1263.02, actually states if the board finds insufficient evidence that there is a violation, then it can remediate the individual through continuing education. So that's
I like that. Okay. So what do you think about 6 units of diagnosis and treatment planning for implants, or should it be 12? What do you think, Skip?
I think six will get the point across.
Okay. So making a recommendation of a non-disciplinary action to include 6 units of diagnosis and treatment planning with implant placement.
Sounds good to me. Yep. Okay. So Harris, so moves.
First, Caputo. Second, Harris. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Bukami?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay, recommendation carries. Making myself a note here as well. Thank you very much. We are now on agenda item 4B21, case number 2023-00216. And I identified violations of 32-1201, 14, 23, and 24.
Harris seconds.
Other discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Bukami?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay. That motion carries to identify those violations. And based on that, I had 2 references in your packet that you can look at least that I'm using for my basis of recommendation for action. It's page number 3093 and 3186. And effectively, I'm recommending disciplinary action to include program to be created by the Credits Cares program to include ethics, crown and bridge diagnosis, treatment planning, and clinical instruction for a total of 12 CEUs and restitution in the amount of $11,670. So I'll open that up for discussion or agreement or changes.
Agreement.
Harris seconds.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because I know in that presentation they said they do ethics through their program. Okay, cool. All right. So we are making a recommendation for disciplinary action to include the Credit Cares program where a agenda or program will be created for the dentist to include ethics, crown and bridge diagnosis, treatment planning, and clinical instruction for a total of 12 continuing education units and restitution to the patient of $11,670. I heard Bukami and Harris, is that correct?
Yeah.
I'll take that as a yes. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Bukami?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay, recommendation carries. We are now on to, I'm sorry, Cynthia, go ahead.
I think there was another reference here to failure to respond to a subpoena.
You have a page number?
3093.
3093. Thank you. Okay. Oh, that they didn't provide complete records.
I think they actually didn't comply, despite the multiple extensions granted and interventions from the attorney too. So I just, it was a step above, I thought.
What do you mean by a step above?
I mean, it was multiple attempts were made. It wasn't just failure to answer one subpoena.
Yes. And my review of that, I think by what we are discussing as recommendation, I think kind of it encapsulates all that. But if you want to deal with that, you're more than welcome to.
Did you have that? Okay.
I just feel like what we're recommending for action is kind of embodies that, is what I'm saying. Harris?
Perhaps someone can help me. I struggled a little bit understanding if they failed to give the records to the lawyer and to mother versus responding to the subpoena. That wasn't clear to me in the documents.
Yeah, I guess sort of left it at that. Mary, go ahead.
So she failed to provide the documents to us. So Dr. Berschler tried reaching out to her attorney. I tried reaching out to her and her attorney, and they did not provide what we were asking for completely.
Then I make a motion that we find against them for failure to respond to the subpoena.
And there's a penalty with that, correct?
Yeah. Yep. It can be $500, and Seamus, since they did a disciplinary order, would it be under 1263 D12, or would we still note it under 1208?
I would say D12, since that's been the board's practice.
Okay.
All right, so we have a violation of
32-1263-D12
for failure to respond to subpoena to include a penalty of $500. April?
Is that reference specific to entities or licensees?
Both. So 1263 is discipline, and since this person's getting a disciplinary order, so this can be up to $2,000, whereas 1208 is non-disciplinary and can be in addition to discipline, but it's non-disciplinary and it can only be $500.
Okay, so we could either do 32-1208 or 32-1263-D12.
Yeah, and if D12, because it's already in a disciplinary order, I think it's like what Seamus is saying, it's sufficient to do it here, and you can do up to $2,000, you can do $500 right. Or whatever.
So, April, did that help you?
Yes, thank you very much.
And then, all right, so the discussion here is, what violation do we want to consider? It seems like the more appropriate one is 32-1263-D12, since we already recommended disciplinary action to the board for consideration. So understanding that the fine or penalty can be up to $2,000, so $500 or up to. So our decision is, one, to consider that violation, and what penalty to recommend. Deb?
I disagree with this citation because my understanding, and even through previous trainings that we've had, 32-1263-D, all of D, pertains only to business entities. So I really would like people to take a look at that and clarify it, because I've had that understanding from the very beginning that
what does 32-1201 have for failure to respond to subpoena?
That was number 23 is failure to respond. So
we already voted on
1.01.23 is failure to respond. Perfect.
So we already voted on that. So we already voted on that as a violation in
That's
the
right.
beginning. So we took care of that. So we're there. Right. So the consideration then here is
a fee. Correct.
It's a civil penalty of $500.
Looks like based on that, we could do $500 or we could do nothing. I mean, there are in violation of it. And at the same time, the board could decide. So I'm open either way. So I just want some direction from all of you, understanding that we already voted to recommend to the board violation of that statute. So that's already been done and accomplished. All right.
I feel like this is Harris. I'd like to make a motion that we recommend a $500 fine for failure to comply with the subpoena and not playing nice.
And that's fine. So the recommendation is to, and this would just be added to our other recommendation we already voted on, a $500 penalty for failure to respond to subpoena. I heard Harris. Do I have a second to that recommendation?
Second.
Second, Fukami. Further discussion. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Calamity?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay. That carries, so that recommendation will be included for failure to respond. Thank you all.
Deb is correct, by the way.
And Deb is correct. Thank you, Deb. But again, we also voted on it, so I apologize for not being more clear when we were discussing it earlier. Okay. We are now on agenda item 4B22, case number 2023-00217. And in the spirit of what we just discussed regarding disciplinary and non-disciplinary, I know in the past we've done this, so I'm just going to kind of bypass it. I was looking at non-disciplinary action here, and if anybody feels differently, please say something. But if we're okay with a non-disciplinary recommendation, I can go into that. Or if we feel like it should be something different, we can certainly entertain that. So the issue on the table is non-disciplinary or other action against this licensee.
This is Berrigan. I would head for non-disciplinary.
Okay.
I second Calamity.
Okay. All right. So
not to be contrarian, but I mean, this is a pretty clear failure to refer case where the patient was left in pain for a significant period. I was personally leaning towards disciplinary.
Okay. Anybody else considering disciplinary?
I got to back up. In the records, I'm just looking through my notes, that the patient had been referred to an endodontist and she refused to go. And I don't have that page number.
All right, let me see.
I have that in my notes too, and I can't find the page number, but I wrote down patient refused to go. But there's nothing in the records that says that. That's just what the dentist.
But then the patient went and got relief. So yes. That's why I find that curious. There was a strong dependence on this red light therapy.
That on page 3224.
3234, it does say that there was a lack of referral and refusal. Recorded referral is what it says. I think maybe that was the issue, is that, because it says that when the consultant interviewed and discussed with the dentist, they understood that verbal conversation should be part of the written treatment notes. So I think that was the issue, was that the dentist said they discussed referral with the patient, but it was never documented.
But then the dentist occupied the patient's time with red light therapy instead of encouraging more definitive care. I'm suspicious.
Okay. And that's why you felt disciplinary would be appropriate. Or that's why you're leaning that way is what I probably better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. I could be convinced. I just felt like it was. There struck me as though there was a component of failure to refer, and the red light treatment was almost an excuse not to refer, which I think is just the opposite of what she needed.
Okay. Any other thoughts about disciplinary action here by anyone else?
For the record, I'm in agreement. I don't think that red light therapy would have corrected the condition. I am just going off of what was told to me. I can't find it in the record written a referral for endodontic treatment. And maybe I just didn't see it.
Because there wasn't one.
It was just discussed.
That's the issue.
I understand.
And then the consultant had that discussion with the dentist to say, you got to do a better job of documentation because of that. So I think that was fair. Okay. All right. So let's do this. To go the disciplinary route, we would need to find a violation of 32.12.01.01.14 and 24. So I will put that on the table. Is there a second to that?
Harris seconds.
Okay.
There is a motion on the table.
Right, that's what we're doing.
Yeah. No, before that, there was a motion and second. I think we have to vote on that before we go to the other one. We didn't
have a motion yet. We were just talking about it being disciplinary or non-disciplinary. I don't have a motion recorded, Saba. Anybody else? No. No, we didn't have a motion recorded. We were just discussing. So we have a motion now, though. 32.12.01.01.14 and 24 are proposed violations for this case. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
No.
Bukami?
Yes.
Calamity? Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes. And the referral to endo is on page 3241.
Okay. All right, but that motion carries. So understanding those violations are there, then the decision needs to be made of whether this is a disciplinary or non-disciplinary. So because we voted on it, I would like to start with this being a disciplinary recommendation to include 3 units of record keeping, 3 units of diagnosis and treatment planning.
I think I would like to recommend some sort of referral to specialists.
So diagnosis and treatment planning to include appropriate referral. Appropriate referrals. Is that okay?
Harris seconds.
Okay, so we have a motion with second for a disciplinary action to include 3 units of record keeping, 3 units of diagnosis and treatment planning to include appropriate referrals. Further discussion. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Bukami?
Yes.
Calamity?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay, so that recommendation carries. Thank you. All right, we are now on agenda item 4B23, case number 2023-00218. So I am looking at violations of 32.12.01.01.14. And would open that up for a second or further discussion to the committee.
I have a question. This is Harris. Why is Horizon Dentistry not a registered entity?
I don't believe they are, but let me double check for you.
I think that, and what we can do, Skip, going back to our previous discussion that Cynthia had brought up earlier, we can, when we get to the last case, we can include that additional recommendation to the entity, okay?
Yes, I was thinking we might want to do it first, not last, but I'm fine with whenever you want to do it.
Let's do it last. I'll just need a reminder of what's the, I know there's a grouping here, what's the last case that's involved in this group? Mary?
So to answer two questions, yes, the registered entity and the last case is 225.
So when we get, we already dealt with 225, so when we get to 224, we'll then discuss the entity. Is that fair? Because I've heard both you and Cynthia, and I agree, we need to do something with the entity.
It seems like we're all itching to get something opened on the entity, so that's why I was bringing it up.
I gotcha. All right. So back to this specific case, 2023-00218, I proposed a violation of 3212-01-0114. Is there other discussion or a second?
Harris seconds.
Okay. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay, and then as far as recommendations, I was going to propose a disciplinary action to include 3 units of ethics and 3 units of diagnosis and treatment plan, and we'll open that up for discussion. Or second. Or
there's a second.
Okay. There's a second. Further discussion. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes. Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay, recommendation carries. We are now on agenda item 4B25, case number 2023-00220. And I'm proposing for consideration violations of 3212-01-014 and 24.
Harris seconds.
Other discussion. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin.
Yes.
Okay. That carries for identification of those violations. I am recommending that we propose to the board disciplinary action to include 3 units of ethics, 3 units of record keeping, 6 units of orthodontic diagnosis and treatment planning, and restitution of $3,572.12.
Harris seconds.
Other discussion.
just to a point of interest, at some point, at what point does the patient and the family take some responsibility in some of this rampant decay. I just want to bring it up as a point.
No, I get it, and I'm with you. That's what we're discussing here, and I don't. I mean, I'm with you. If you
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're. We're saying I think similar, but if this is not what you want to just propose something differently.
And I don't know what. This was one of those cases. There were so many fingers in the pie. And yeah. Everybody pointing the finger to everybody else. At some point, the patient is highly responsible for the rampant decay. And to put it all on the practitioners in the practice, and granted, it's our responsibility to look and be aware of it. I just think my thought is it's coming down kind of hard.
And I hear you. I guess where I was struggling with this was it seemed as though the effort wasn't being made by the office to communicate with the family. That's where I struggled, despite the home care wasn't maybe where it needed to be by the patient. So that's where I was at, but I do hear what you're saying. And obviously that's what we're here discussing. And I'm open to other input. Skip, go ahead.
You know, there was sugary fluid diet, but remember, this is a child, so how responsible can we hold the child? And to be frank, I feel like we should come down hard on everybody that's involved in this. A 17-year-old should never walk into an office with no problems and walk out the office with many, many, many problems. So I felt pretty strongly that even though you know, the child does, and the parents do have some responsibility, that we as a profession really drop the ball in this case for a lot of different reasons.
Other discussion?
I got to say, I'm not saying that, not 100%, but at what point were the parents not coming in? At what point? We can't keep saying, oh, it was COVID. People were showing up in offices and wearing masks and still being present and informed with their children and asking questions and having some input. And I just have a hard time with 100% of all the allegations that are going on here.
Got it. And that on the one end, I think that gets heard. And that's part of the recommendation process too, right? Because the board will have their input as well, right?
Yep.
Okay. So hearing everything that's been said, there is a recommendation of disciplinary action to include 3 units of ethics, 3 units of record keeping, 6 units of orthodontic diagnosis and treatment planning, and restitution in the amount of $3,572.12. And I believe, Harris, you seconded?
I did.
Okay. Cynthia?
I mean, can we just discuss this for a second? Because I had the same kind of concerns that I didn't know how to formulate.
Yep.
But I think one of the concerns for what Karen's saying here. So I had a hard time because, again, a lot of moving parts here. Who actually bears the primary responsibility for the rampant caries on this patient? Is it within the orthodontist scope of practice to be the primary maintainer of that? Is the fact that they did not have a general dentist appointment for 14 months or 15 months, where it wasn't noticed? Now I did see a mention there made that they that the orthodontist referenced that a caries clearance was made prior or determined prior to the onset of orthodontic treatment. I don't see that reference anywhere throughout the multiple appointments that were here. I think that was a focus of the investigators since that was asked about, I think with every subsequent case was, do you normally do caries clearance? Are you a participant in that? For orthodontic patients. So I guess my question to the orthodontist on the committee are, what is the orthodontist's responsibility, or what would have been the role that they would play here as far as recognizing or identifying when the patient's rampant caries were becoming a bigger issue to where it is absolutely certain that they must engage with the parent or at least document that thoroughly so that, that there wouldn't be any question that the parent is aware, that the child is aware, that everyone's aware that this is a real issue and that further treatment should be reevaluated at that point.
I appreciate where you're coming from. And first and foremost, we're all general dentists and we specialize. And our eyes do gravitate to white spot lesions, breakdown. At what point do a parent forget to realize that, how long has it been since my child had a cleaning appointment? At what point does the family also contribute in providing care for their child as opposed to expecting it to be strictly on shipping the kid into the office and then sitting back in the car and waiting for them to walk out? And a noted history of gastric reflux. Yeah, it is, the whole scenario is bad from the get-go. So that's where I'm coming from on this. And that's because I look at it from an orthodontic standpoint. We can talk to patients and document and insist that parents please try to help out, but it doesn't always happen. Thankfully, the appliances were taken off before further damage did occur.
Okay. So I think we're hearing everybody, unless there's other recommendations to the recommendation or other thoughts, I guess, I'd like to at least dispose of the motion that's on the table. And so hearing everything everybody has said and not hearing any proposed changes, I think we just, let's take a roll call on what has been recommended to the board for consideration. So do you want me to repeat it, or are we all good?
Please repeat.
Okay, so we're recommending disciplinary action to include 3 CEUs of ethics, 3 CEUs of record keeping, 6 CEUs of orthodontic diagnosis and treatment planning, and restitution in the amount of $35.72.12. So that's the recommendation. Let's take a roll call and see where we end up.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
No.
Fukami?
Yes.
Kalamchi?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
No.
Okay. So
it passes.
It passes. So it is approved to make that recommendation.
With 2 no's.
Correct, with the 2 no's. All right. So
Dr. Caputo, I'm going to give you my 10-minute warning.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's 12 minutes, but who's telling?
Yeah.
Dr. Caputo, I'll give you my 11-minute warning.
Dang it. We better hurry up here. All right. So the last case, I think you said, what did we just dispose of? Which case?
25.
Right. So now we're on agenda item 4B27, which I think is the last case in this, because everything else was handled up to 25. And you said, Mary, that 25 was the last case in this series?
225.
Yes, 225.
All right, so we've disposed of 225 and 224. So we're on 223. And I'm sorry, we took up 223. Let's look at 222 now, and then we'll talk about the entity afterwards. So this is agenda item 4B27, case number 2023-00222. I'm proposing a violation of 32.12.01.01.14.
Harris seconds.
Other comments? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asrari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Kalamji?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Okay, so that carries for violation of that statute. And so with that, I'm proposing to the board a disciplinary action to include 3 CUs of record keeping and 3 CUs of diagnosis and treatment planning.
And I'd like to add 3 units of ethics.
Okay. And 3 units of ethics.
And did you say discipline?
Disciplinary, correct. Okay, other comments? Discussion? Skip will take you as a second to that.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asrari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Kalamji?
He said 11 Kappas? Minutes. Deb? Yeah. Okay.
And Martin?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So that carries. So that recommendation is approved. So now we're on to the entity. And so, this has kind of been permeating throughout as we've been discussing. So what would we like to consider or recommend to the board for the entity?
Don't we need to open a case against them?
So there's nothing identified, correct? They weren't identified in any of these complaints, correct?
I thought it was. Let me see. Page 22.
So we need to recommend opening a complaint against the entity. Deb?
So is this one of those situations where we have enough to actually take action as well? So open and take and find a violation at the same time?
Yeah, so this is Ryan. If you don't think you need anything else, what could be problematic, I think, in this is there's a combined grouping of several investigative reports over multiple dentists. So you may want to define exactly where you find the entity at violation, whatever the name violations are.
So I would move it would be a violation of 32.1263D, failure to provide. What is it? It's 12, D12.
The failure to respond to subpoena?
Correct.
Okay. Anything else?
I'd like to see their business practices questioned. I mean, I feel like they've created a model that just makes unprofessional conduct almost inevitable.
So would that be an investigation?
Dr. Harris, go ahead.
No, I think the unprofessional conduct is apparent through all of these. I don't think we need an investigation. I'm just not sure which statute you can apply to a professional entity that would be appropriate, but I think Karen.
That's why I'm asking the question. Yeah, I'm struggling there myself. Karen?
Can we consider, this is a bit of a stretch, but practicing dentistry without a license. They're dictating practices that have directed practitioners and hygienists' ability to communicate and pointing the finger to everybody else. It would take a lot of digging through to, but they're basically telling these doctors how to practice. So is that something we can consider?
This is the AG, Seamus. I think, and I apologize, Dr. Harris. I just wanted to point out, you know, if you don't think you have it right now, then you'd want to open an investigation.
I don't think we do. I think we do. I think we should probably open up an investigation. It's kind of where I'm at. Skip, are you okay with that? I just think there's information in these complaints, but I think we need to be directed, and I sort of along the lines of what Brian said, a lot of this is directed at these licensees, but not enough at the entity for us to really grasp onto anything outside of failure to respond to subpoena.
Deb had her hand up.
Yeah, go ahead, Deb.
I agree. I think there's, you know, we to take action now, it would be on the subpoena. But the other, I think you would want to see more evidence across other patients. So this is, all of these cases were one case, one patient. So an audit might be indicated to really ferret out what kind of business practices are influencing the practitioners to do what they're doing.
Skip, go ahead.
I mean, I'm okay with an audit, although I don't think there's evidence of this being a widespread problem, but I certainly think the business entity needs to be adjusted, needs to be, you know, punished for being contributory in this specific case. And that's why I feel like we have enough, because they were clearly part of the problem here.
Right. But I guess my point is that I think that if we have the groundwork to do this more firmly, that would be better for us. And so kind of along the lines of what Karen was mentioning, you have an entity here that seems to be inappropriately interfering or directing the delivery of care. And if we convey that concern to the board and say that we would like to see a complaint opened up against the entity, whereas an investigation and audit could occur to look into some of these inappropriate practices, that would then provide us hopefully with some more directed information that we could make some stronger decisions about.
Harris seconds.
That seemed to capture what folks were thinking.
It does for me.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So with that, did that make sense, Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
I think we have that here. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Bukami?
Yes.
I believe Kalamshi has left the meeting.
Correct.
Kappas?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
And I think we're losing Katie.
Yep. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. All right. So that recommendation carries, and we'll make that to the board for their approval and then follow through. So where I'm at is, looks like agenda item 4B31. Does that seem right?
Yep.
Okay. So we are on agenda item 4B31, case number 2023-00233. April.
We're actually now down to a minimum quorum, and since Dr. Berrigan is recused from this case, we don't have a quorum to...
On this one?
Correct.
Thanks a lot, Karen. All right, so.
I'm laughing.
Well, honestly, that's crazy, but I think we're done then. Let me look.
37 and 38.
37. That was, what did I
It was recommended for LC and then somebody wanted to discuss it.
Oh, do we know who pulled 37?
Well, if it wasn't me, I'm willing to discuss it.
Okay, well, that's fine. And then what did you say, 37 and what?
38. I don't know if 38 marked as anything.
Oh. Okay. All right. So let's, all right. So we can't do, so we have to postpone agenda item 4B31, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's been held due to Dr. Berrigan's COI. So now we are on 4B37, case number 2023-00281. And I had this, I had this as a letter of concern, and I think it got...
Yes, you did.
Pulled.
Yes.
Skip, go ahead. Discuss.
I was looking to defer to people who do general dentistry all day long, but this didn't strike me as a case that needed hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars of Arestin. It really struck me as an over-diagnosis, over-treatment kind of case. That was at least striking, maybe a little past the letter of concern. I'm not saying it's the crime of the century, but I am suggesting it struck me as a little bit more than a letter of concern.
Okay. Well, I was going to put in the letter of concern, emphasizing the importance of accurate hard and soft tissue examinations with appropriate diagnosis and treatment planning, as well as appropriate indications for adjunctive treatments when identified. We lost our periodontist, but were you thinking like non-disciplinary?
I don't know. To me, I was leaning towards disciplinary, to be frank, but I'd love to hear what everybody else has to say.
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, I was leaning toward a letter of concern on this as well. I thought it was a little overkill, but not, you know, so far out that it would require discipline.
And there's our perio person there, Skip.
I will defer to people who do this for a living. I just, that's what my guts was.
I get it. Karen.
My comment would be more on the non-disciplinary letter of concern, CE. It does seem a little bit much, but every doctor has their own standard.
Okay. So we can only do one or the other. We can't do letter of concern and CE.
Understood.
Yeah. So which one would you think, letter of concern or non-disciplinary CE?
Non-disciplinary CE.
Okay. So there's one non-disciplinary CE, there's a couple of letters of concern, and there's one disciplinary. Anybody else? Cynthia?
Another question I had was that at least it was framed by the patient that they were told that the treatment was urgent enough that they couldn't wait for the insurance pretreatment estimate. Did anyone else catch that?
What page?
This is Berrigan. I didn't catch that.
Oh, I'm sorry. There was a mention made during the case notes that the patient was told that the situation was urgent enough that they needed to proceed with treatment without waiting for the insurance pretreatment estimate, which I think was a part of the issue here.
Do you have a page number?
Dang it. Let's
see. It's just helpful to look at.
It is, and that's my fault for not here. Page 6689.
6689.
If you look under aggravating factors.
Uh-huh. Would not wait for insurance approval. Told DK this treatment plan was urgent and could not wait.
Okay. I guess that's why this struck me badly. Like this really felt like an over-treatment, like sales job more than
it was. That decision. I got you. All right. Is there a motion?
This is Bergen. I would make a motion for CE credits, ethics, and diagnosis and treatment planning.
Periodontal? Any
yes.
kind of periodontal?
Yep, periodontal.
Periodontal assessment and treatment?
Yes, I like that.
Okay. And Cynthia, you had a question or a comment? Sorry.
No, I'm terrible at putting my hand down. Sorry.
As long as you don't walk around like that physically with your hand up. That way you okay. So one of the approaches here is a disciplinary or non-disciplinary recommendation. We go disciplinary, we need to identify a violation, which appears to be 32120114. And so I will entertain a motion to either find that as a violation, and if not, we can go to a non-disciplinary CE recommendation in the area of ethics and periodontal assessment and treatment planning.
Can towards that, this is Fukami, towards that discussion, can I ask the periodontist, since we still have her, looking at page 6680, if you look at the chart notes, she made a mention that there's heavy subgingival calculus that's radiographically evident.
Yes.
Which at least to my eye, I didn't see at all in the radiographic images.
And I think that's what the consultant said too, Cynthia.
And so that's why leaning whether it's disciplinary or non-disciplinary, since that might be part of the discussion for some folks here.
Well, I think that's part of what Skip's going at is that was this just a hard sell to get treatment done and over diagnosis and treatment?
I understand.
Yeah,
just want to point out.
Yeah, and so pointed. Let's see what they did say that the allegation was not substantiated per the consultant. Obviously, that doesn't mean we have to agree or disagree. Just that was what they did conclude. And I think that Karen mentioned this in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 4th bullet of the investigator's conclusion. Basically identifies that we have different training backgrounds and different approaches to care. She did provide a recommendation. Our discussion here is, was that recommendation beyond what was appropriate or not? And where are we on that? Okay, I think that based on everything I'm hearing, I would like to propose that we make a non-disciplinary recommendation for 3 units of ethics and 6 units of periodontal assessment, diagnosis, treatment planning, and adjunctive periodontal therapy indications.
Harris seconds.
Okay. Further discussion. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asrari?
Yes.
Bergen?
Yes.
Fukami?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Okay. Recommendation carried. Did you get that?
Yeah.
And we got it. All right. I'm just making myself a little quick note here, and then we'll move on. Awesome. All right, so now we're at agenda item 4B38, case number 2023-00283. And based on my notes, I'm looking at page 6760 of the packet. And the comment that I had made, I think that's it. I think it was some of the responses that I was seeing there from the consultant in red at the top of that page. As I wrote a note to myself, also I'll go up and look at it. It was, oh, I see. Page 6760 identified Dr. S.Y. as involved in this, because this complaint is against the entity. And then also on page 6763, the conclusions by the investigator, it's, you know, trying to identify who's responsible here. So that's where I just kind of struggled with what action to take based on those couple of identifications. So I'm going to open that up for the committee for further discussion.
This is Harris. As someone who spent the last 25 years of his life on call, I think we fine for disciplinary unprofessionalism.
This is Berrigan. I'm in agreement. There were two instances where they couldn't get a hold, two separate occasions.
So I'm hearing you say 3212010114, Skip?
Yes, sir. Harris second.
Okay. We'll go first by Harris, second by Berrigan.
Yes.
Okay. We're recommending disciplinary action. I'm sorry. Let's take care of that first. So let's do a roll call. Oh, I'm sorry, Deb, go ahead.
Is this an entity or?
The entity is against the entity, yes. I think if we were to go to,
so then we wouldn't,
we have to open up a complaint against the dentist. Right, Ryan?
Yes.
Because, so the issue here is, getting back to the question I had, what are we finding that, so they are finding that there is substantiation, but whose responsibility is that, the entities or the dentist?
Both. This is Harris. I think both of them are responsible.
Okay. So what actions can we take against an entity for not providing appropriate access to care?
So that could be 3212.63.D.15, which says engaging in any conduct or practice that constitutes a danger to the health, welfare, or safety of the patient or the public. Yeah, it's the same as ours, but against the entity.
So that's a better allegation, is 3212.63.D.15. Yes?
Yes.
All right. So is that good for you, Deb?
Yes.
Okay. Second by Harris. So what action can we take against the entity for that violation, if any?
So you can take anything under 1263.01, which includes revocation, suspension, decree of censure, probation, anything that you can do on amended. Well, you can't really do probation because.
Can we revoke their entity registration? Is that what you're saying?
You can, but you'd have to, there's steps you have to go through to get to.
Can we do a civil, can we do a penalty?
Yep.
Up to
$2,000 per violation.
Okay. So would we like to recommend a penalty of $2,000? April?
I think we need to vote on the violation first.
No, that's fine. I'm with you. Maybe I'm getting a little ahead of myself. All right. So, okay. So fair enough. So we have some approaches here. So let's go ahead and dispose of the violation. So we have a motion and second for a violation of 32-1263-D15. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Bukami?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Okay. Motion carries for that violation. So of the opportunities that are available to us for recommendations, I'm not seeing a lot of merit in doing anything to the registration of the entity, whereas I think a penalty has more meaning. And given that we can go up to 2,000, I would recommend a penalty of $2,000 for this violation. And with that, open it up for discussion. Deb?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would also like us to consider restitution to the patient.
Yes.
Here or for the next allegation?
Well, the refund to both the patient and the insurance would probably be coming from the entity, wouldn't it, rather from the individual dentist?
No, but I mean, right now I'm just looking at this. I want to handle it separately because we can do 2,000 per violation.
Okay, that's fine.
So didn't, because you said D15 says what again?
Engaging in any conduct or practice that constitutes a danger to the health, welfare, or safety of the patient or the public.
So with that, I mean, not providing after-hours care, so there's access, right? That's a problem. But would this refund be under that too, or is there a different place for that refund?
So you can... if you do discipline, the refund would, or restitution is a disciplinary outcome.
No, I know, but I get that, but I'm just saying, yes. I'm trying to do two separate actions here. So then we can also do a penalty as well as request a refund for the restitution to her point.
I think you can do the restitution and the penalty under the same violation. And
so just leave, put it all together.
Yep.
Okay. So, all right. So that's fine, Deb. So we can handle this, I guess, as one. I was trying to see if we could do it two. So did we have a number that was in the notes anywhere on the refund and what the amount is?
Yes, I believe it was in the conclusions on 67, 63.
Or 62.
Or 62. Deviate, yeah, kind of fall over.
And is it, what is it? Is it the...
It looks like the patient would be getting a refund of $543.44, and the insurance then could also be reimbursed $458.84.
Okay, I see the $458.84. Where is that first number?
Because they already had a balance. They already had a negative balance. They already paid $44.64, correct, though?
Oh, and that's added to that.
Yeah, so it would be $44.64 and $498.
All right, and that came to what, Deb?
$543.44.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I just want to make sure that makes sense to the board as well, right? Because they're going to be looking for that. So we want a refund. We want restitution to the patient and insurance.
Yep.
Okay. In those two amounts, and you have that.
Yep.
All right.
$543.44.
All right. So then we're making a recommendation based on that violation of a civil penalty to the entity in the amount of $2,000 and restitution to the patient and insurance in the amounts that we identified for both.
Got it.
Is that good, Deb?
Yes, that's good.
Okay. So Moved by Caputo, second by Kappas. Further discussion. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Pukami?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Okay, that recommendation carries. Thank you. I appreciate that. So now we're on to the licensee. So do we feel as though there's enough information here to make a recommendation to the board in terms of violation and or recommendations? Because then we don't have to open up complaint, correct?
Yeah, as long as you have enough on the dentist.
Right.
And you don't need more investigation.
So are we comfortable with what we're seeing here to take action or recommend action against Dr. S.Y.?
Harris, I am.
Okay. So are we seeing a violation of 32120114?
Harris seconds.
Any other violations? We'll go to our violation hawk, Deb.
Nope, that sounds good.
Okay. So we have a violation of 32120114 moved by Caputo, seconded by Harris. Further discussion? Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Pukami?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Okay. The motion carries for that violation. And if I was hearing correctly from Dr. Harris earlier, we're looking to recommend a disciplinary action to include what, Skip?
Frankly, I'd be satisfied with ethics.
Okay. 3 units of ethics, or do we just do 6 units of risk management?
I think it'd be 4 units.
4 units of risk management, which includes ethics, by the way.
Harris seconds.
So we have a recommendation of 4 units of, I'm sorry, we have a disciplinary action recommendation to include 4 units of CE in risk management. Moved by Caputo, seconded by Harris. Other discussion. Roll call.
Caputo?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Asfari?
Yes.
Berrigan?
Yes.
Pukami?
Yes.
Kappas?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that is, we got everything, yeah? We didn't miss anything? I didn't gloss over something? That's our full list?
Yeah.
All right. You have done it, folks. Thank you very much. So, we are now, let me just go back up to our agenda. We are now on agenda item 5. That's our complaint log, which we are looking at continuously. Agenda item 6. Anything currently happening? We did get an email, and I know Dr. Harris responded. We have dates that we're going to look to firm up in December, our next meeting.
Yeah, in the December meeting, Yasmin sent out some proposed dates based on availability. Again, all meetings are virtual, and you guys will get an opportunity to vote on these and make decisions. But she wanted you to have it ahead of time to get them on your calendars. And then
I don't mind. It's obviously open to what other people think, too. I do appreciate what Dr. Harris did to look ahead in the schedule already and provide some feedback. I know for me, January is always a challenging month because I also have more teaching obligations during January. So I do know for me the 16th is not going to work either. So we may want to try to look for a different date if that's possible at all. But obviously not to get too far into the weeds, and give everybody the opportunity. But please look at those dates and see how they fall out in your calendars. And like I said, I'm open to us having that discussion by email in terms of just what people are seeing as challenges, understanding that our next meeting is not until December 5th. So it's a little ways away. So let's look at that and see what we can do in terms of firming up on our calendars that list of – and those were dates for the year?
Yeah, for
January. So that's for 2024 for the full year.
And when you respond, just respond directly to Yasmin, and she'll collect the notes.
Okay, so don't do the reply all.
We'll cover them all in December. All right,
so just respond directly to Yasmin, and then she'll pull everything together. I think that's it. Anything else on your end?
I can't think of anything. April, for you.
Skip?
I just had a question or a request. We've been doing this for about a year now, it seems like. Can we get some feedback from the board on whether are we seeing a lot of our recommendations changed? Are they satisfied with our recommendations? I'd be interested in getting some feedback at some point from the board.
My understanding is we're about 90% of them accepting what we're recommending, and 10% disagreement or changes. Maybe they accept what we have, but think some other action needs to be taken. That's kind of my sort of loose read. The other thing that I'm trying to do a little bit better, and why you heard me maybe seem repetitive, is when we're making some of our recommendations, they just want to make sure it's tied to something that's either within the consultant's report, and if it's not, for us to clearly or to the best of our ability articulate what that is, so they understand where our perspective is in terms of our recommendation.
Yeah, the committee is very well respected by the board. Dr. Hero mentions it probably every single meeting. And they appreciate everything that you guys are doing. If they don't take the recommendation, it's something that Dr. Caputo was just trying to allude to. Something's come up between either this meeting or whatever, and that swayed their decision in a different direction. But nothing is super different than what you guys recommend.
Were you looking for a raise, Skip?
No, just looking to improve what we present. That's all.
No, and if I can be super candid, Seamus and I often talk about this group as really capturing exactly what it is. I mean, it took a minute for everybody to understand the role and kind of get the basically just get the oil charged. And I think you guys are doing a great job.
Cool. Thank you, Ryan. Thanks, Skip. I appreciate that. Yeah, feedback's always helpful for sure. And totally hear you on that. I think that that brings us to adjournment. I don't have anything else. Ryan, do you?
Not that I can think of. How about April?
April, anything on your end?
No, nothing here.
Okay, thank you so much. Ryan made me take him out to lunch today. I'm like, hey, man, are you holding me hostage? What's going on? So, anyways, nice to be up here. I appreciate all of you, and I will call this meeting adjourned at 3:29 p.m. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.